thankful I am this morning. For several days, you know, with Sister Elsie being so sick and how special she is. But I was thinking about how special she is to God. And I was just going over in my mind how God has always dealt with that family. And a whole family like that. And I thought, I've never seen that before. And I thought, yes, I have. I saw that happen in the Sutmiller family. God wanted the Sutmiller family. He brought almost every one of them into the body. The whole family. And there's still, a lot of them are still here. They didn't all make it. And I was thinking about my, you know, that God dealt with me. But I don't, and he always dealt with me as a child. But I wonder if I hadn't have found my husband being connected to and being kin to the Sutmillers, if I would have had that opportunity, even though I was living around people in the body that I never met, if I had had this opportunity. And how merciful and loving God has been to me. How merciful and loving how he has been to me all my life. And I don't know, and I don't want anybody to take this wrong, but I was thinking about the Ratliff family, and please don't take this wrong. And I was thinking about myself and a lot of people. It's not because they're the most beautiful. It's not because we're the smartest, because anybody knows me, I'm not the smartest, not the most beautiful. It's not because I have the sweetest spirit. It's not because I'm naturally good. It's that God loves us. He just loves us. He has, you don't have to be perfect for him to love you. He wants us to change, and he lets us. He don't always put us through things. He allows us to go through life, and we're going to go through things. And if we allow him to show his mercy upon us, we will get closer to him. And that's how much loving and merciful he is. And I thought, God, you've been so good to me. So, I don't know why you've been so good to me. It's not because of who I am. It's because of who he is. Oh, oh, God, I'm so thankful this morning for who he is. Everyone in this building, and our visitors included, God has loved us and dealt with us from the time we were young. Sister Crow has talked about when she was a little girl. Some respond, some do not. Some they don't want to give up their life. I said, you don't give up your life, you get a life. You're not giving up anything. You get joy, peace, happiness. You get comfort. You get a new family. You get the family of God. You get God's love. You get his mercy. You get everything. You get to live. You get to live like you've never lived before. Oh, yeah, you'll go through trials, but you'll go through trials out there. Life is hard. You're going to go through sickness. You're going to go through heartaches. You're going to go through your kids not doing what you think they ought to do. You're going to go through deaths. You're going to lose your parents. You're going to go through things. But the difference is you got God, and you got God's people. And I'm just so thankful. I am so thankful for this church. You have shown Sister Elsie's family what God's really like. They were so thankful for this. They said next time they're planning on being service with us. Y'all pray for them, and I just want to tell you how thankful I am for this church, for showing the love that they have shown to people who don't know this group of people and know God. They know, they said up there God was dealing with them. Those kids were saying, and those grandkids, they were saying, God's dealing with us. Let's pray they respond, because that's been Elsie's prayer, to see all of her kids in church and serving God. And I just want to say how much I appreciate God's touch on my life. And how blessed I have been.
wonderful to be in church today and to be able to feel the Spirit of God just right off the bat. It's good to be able to feel that God is, his blessings are upon us, and he let us feel his Spirit. It's good to be, if you come and you're talking about the Lord and you're saying you're worshiping him, this is the house of worship, and never feel his Spirit, that'd be kind of odd. But I'm thankful today that we not only can talk about the Lord, but we can feel his presence and to know that that he is with us. And appreciate the words Sister Smith has given us about the Ratliff family and their experience that they're going through. And let's keep praying for them and pray that God will help them, assist them, and that's the difference. I feel like if you can feel the God's hand, in whatever we are going through, if you can feel him helping you, and that's the good part about God. We not only, somebody says, not just better tell, but it's better felt. To know that God is helping you. Sometimes the help that you get may not be what you thought it would be, but I'm just saying, if you just know that this is God, the hand of God is in this. And I'm thankful today that we have that opportunity. I appreciate the Bible study, and Brother Smith has pointed out to us that, how important our relationship is with God. And that's I have experienced, since I'm not home a lot, but every now and then since I'm retired, I'm at home. So I had a couple of ladies drop by and visit one day and was talking to me about the Lord. And they asked me this question. They said, if you died tonight, would you go to heaven? And I didn't answer them the way they was wanting me to answer. I was trying to let them know, that serving God is a progressive walk with God. We have to get, that wasn't what they wanted to hear. And so anyway, they kind of took my name down and they sent their elder over, talked to me and trying to straighten me out. So anyway, we had a pretty good talk. And but I appreciate people that's doing what they feel like they need to do for the Lord. And it just let me know that there's a mindset sometimes with people that, that I was talking to Brother Paul, witnessing to people. This world is sown down with a certain mindset. And when you run into it, you might say, well, how am I want to just, cause at first, I don't know what I was doing, but I was just kind of want to give my answers to let them go ahead and go where they was going. But sometimes you think, do I need to just tell this person something, just what they want to hear and let them go, or do I need to talk to them? Sometimes you need to talk to people, and sometimes you might just want to, if you know what they want to hear, give them the answer and they're gone, But sometimes I think it's good to visit with people. You may not be able to change them, but you still need to, let them know that, I'm serving God too. It's not just so much about heaven or going to heaven or hell, whatever you want to believe about that, but it's, to me, it's a relationship with God. If even out here in the natural, if you out here working, if you enjoying what you're doing, your job, they're saying it's not work anymore if you're enjoying what you're doing. I think if it can get to that level with God, to where it's not work anymore, you like what you're doing. And I used to have, work with a phone company. I had to climb telephone poles. That's a job I had. I didn't like it because I was afraid. I had this fear of heights. But I said, well, I think I got this. I don't have this. I have this problem, but I can't just say that, without even trying. So I did it. I still haven't. But anyway, I did it. But on a clear day when it was like yesterday, nice, sunny, not too hot. Not too, just pleasant day. You get up on the top of a telephone pole and look out. I mean, it's a nice view. I mean, it's really, that. So there were some days that it wasn't so bad. You know, I never did really adapt to it, I put it that way. But anyway, but there were some good days. That's what I'm saying. There were some days that it really wasn't all that bad being up on a telephone pole. But anyway, what I'm trying to do with God, I wanna enjoy what I'm doing. Some of that work I did kind of enjoy, some of it I didn't. I never really had a job that I just loved everything about it. I never had one of those kind of jobs. But there were some times that I did like what I was doing. But I want to try to adapt to God's work, his work, to where I love everything about it. Everything about it. Now, I'm trying to get to that way. I'm not telling you everything about it I love, but that's where I'm headed. That's my goal, is to begin to do the work for God and love it. You know, this guy said, we was up in, Brother Leonel gave me a t-shirt. I told him I was retired, and he gave me this t-shirt that said, I'm retired and loving it, or something like that. I believe that's what it said. I'm retired and loving it. And that's what I want to do with God. I want to work for God and love it, and have that kind of relationship with God. And I believe we can get to that place. I believe it's available. You maybe the perfection stage where we're a perfect church. You know, that's what we're after. But I believe we can love Reverend God. You know, until we get to the perfected a church where perfection is available to us, I believe we can love serving God. You know, along the way. You know, I believe we can love the journey. You know, that's what people tell you. It's not where you head. It's not the destination that you're going to. It's the journey. You know, enjoy it. So that's what I'm trying to do with God. I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to learn to love the things about God. And it is. I get a lot of stuff in the mail, you know, about different things and volunteering. You know, I feel like I'm volunteering enough. But anyway, they want you to volunteer for this and that. And they was talking about all the benefits of volunteering. You know, one of them is gratitude. You know, when you help other people, a lot of times you can do things, you know, for yourself. You may feel okay about it, but when you're doing something for somebody else, there's a gratitude, a level of gratitude that you get from it that you don't get from anything else. And that's what, you know, one of the benefits of volunteering. And I feel like, you know, I don't sign up for a whole lot of stuff for volunteering, but I think that they're right. You know, it's a lot of truth in that. Even church, you know, we operate on volunteer labor a lot around church. Like yesterday, we had a great day yesterday here up here working, and it was all volunteer labor, and it was a good day. And I really appreciated Brother Vaughn. Man, that's a hard working man. He was up here working yesterday, and he worked very hard. Really appreciated him. I appreciated everybody, you know, that spent time. You know, this is God's work. And you can't go wrong working for God, no matter where you are, what level you're working on. You know, whether it's in the natural out here raking leaves or whatever, you cannot go wrong, you know, working for God. They say the benefits are out of this world. I believe that. So anyway, it's good to be in church today, and it's good to have visitors. We got is it Ronchetta Palmer? Is that get close? Ronchetta Palmer, Sister Palmer, and then Jacqueline Nunn. So now, good to have them today. God bless you. And of course, Sister Terry. Do I see her? And the babies? She's not in here. Okay. Nursery. Good. Okay. All right. Who else? I don't miss anybody. All right. But anyway, it's good to be in church today. And, it's another good day outside. You know, of course, we inside. But anyway, it's a nice day. Enjoy it because, you know, we're going to have other days too. But anyway, God is good to us. And let us pray. We mentioned the Ratliff family. Pray for them and pray that God will help them. you know, pray God's will, and you know, your heart goes out to them, sister. You know, Sister Elsie prays for her family. She's very concerned about her family. So let's carry that on. You know, let's keep praying for them. You know, she's not here with us today to pray, but we can pray and pray for them and lift them up, encourage them as best we can. Any other requests and needs?
Sally, we might give a report on her. She's on life support. She had this emergency surgery last Saturday, a week ago last Saturday. Then she had surgery again Monday morning. And they've had her on life support ever since. And they've been trying to, they had to wean her off of blood pressure medicine because her blood pressure was so low. They finally got her off of that. Now they're trying to wean her off of life support, but they can't get her to wake up. They took all medications off of her and everything. Yeah, Thursday morning at 8 o'clock. She's never come to since. So, and she is on a ventilator because she's not breathing on her own. So, we need to pray, you know, that she's in a critical state. We really need to pray. Huh? Yes, they're doing an MRI today on her brain. And they already did her legs to make sure there wasn't any blood clots. And they're doing the brain today. So let's pray that God would touch her. I'm asking the Lord if it would be in His, if He could fit it in His will to let us have her a little while longer. You know, He could fix her and give her good quality life for more years. And, you know, I always hate to, I don't want to interfere with God's plans. You know, if He would have a purpose in taking her at this time, I wouldn't want us to, you know, but if God could fit it in His plan and grant our request, wouldn't that be wonderful? So I think we ought to be like the Jesus said. He said, be like the little woman before the unjust judge. Just keep asking. Keep going. And, you know, how the little parable he told was, the judge finally said, give this woman what she's wanting. You know, she just wouldn't quit asking for it. So Jesus understood that, you know, that you could petition the Lord, and God can fit your petition into His will.
That's
right. So let's earnestly pray for her. She's really in need of our prayers right now. She's unconscious and she can't. I know the family has felt like that she's somewhat responsive. I don't think she is. You know, maybe a little bit, but you can ask her to squeeze your hand, or I think most of it's reaction, but she may be, you know, you just, if she's conscious enough that she could know what you was doing, she could wake up. She can't wake up. And unless she just kind of comes in and out, so she's not conscious enough to be aware of what's in her surroundings, really, I don't think. But let's pray that God will touch her and let her come out of this. Man. Let's remember Brother David Angelo, too. He's got terminal cancer in Tyler, Texas. Keep him in our prayers.
Sister Ann Thompson.
saw Brother Wallace is back here.
Yes,
with
Brother
us
Steve
today.
Wallace.
Glad Brother yes, Wallace is here. He needs, our good. Prayers.
Good to see him today.
Yes.
All right. Any other prayer requests? Yes, I'm sorry. Evans. Remember that family? Sister Holland. And Brother Wayne McGowan, too, right?
Brother Wayne.
He's under the weather. Sister Lynette. Caleb is traveling home. Lucas. Okay. All right. Sister Fulton. Paul. Pray for him. All right. And his sister. Yes, son. Okay. All right. Remember that need today. All right. Philip. Remember Philip Fisher. Pray for him. All right. All right. Any other? Sister Inez Watson. Keep praying for her. She's being missed. Brother Leniger quoted that scripture when Brother Tucker passed away, and what David, that's in the 20th chapter of Chronicles. Well, anyway, it was when David didn't show up at the dinner for Saul, he said that he would. Your seat would be empty or something. You'd be missed. You'd be missed. So we do miss each one that when their seat is empty, they'll be missed. So let's remember that and pray for the needs. Okay, if any other requests, let's all stand and take these needs to the Lord and pray that God will help his people. Father in heaven, we thank you this day, Lord. Having this opportunity, Lord, to come before you, pray that you help our needs. Remember Sister Elsa Ratliff, Lord, and her family. Lord, we pray that your will, O God, and Lord, that help us, that our hearts, O Lord, reach out to her. Lord, we lift you up. Thank you for this day, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, blessed be. Oh, yes, Lord. Lord, hallelujah. Lord, help us that our hearts, oh God, will reach out to you. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Thank you. Yes. Oh, thank you.
I'll say that. He would probably say that. So I'm, anyway, his he wasn't able to make it, but her and Olivia. Where's Olivia? Olivia, raise your hand so everybody can see you. The other girls. and Emily. Raise Emily, raise your hand, Emily. There she is. All right. Well, these are some of the faithful saints in Republic. We're glad to have her today. And Sister Drum's daughter.
Up with that, but I think it fits and I like the words to it, and I really feel this way about y'all here, so we'll see what we can do with it.
Thank you, Lord, for the family of God.
about this when Sister Smith was testifying. So tell me, where else could we go to find this Spirit and all that we know to see wisdom being used with love and mercy to find these truths? And though I know the sacrifice is great, it'll be worth it just to see Jesus. I have a family of a different
thought I would mention Sister Tiffany Curtis. She emailed me and told me she'd be out of town today, but she'd see us Wednesday night. So I appreciated her letting me know that she was, be enough a part of this that she wanted us to know why she wasn't here. And in fact, she told me, she said, "I'll try to get back tonight." And I told her, I said, "Well, this is dinner day." I wrote her back. I said, "It's dinner day, and on dinner day, we're trying something new. We're go down and eat dinner, and then we all pull together and deep clean the church, and us old folks takes the evening off, but the young people has service downstairs. So this will be our second service like that for the young people." And Caleb was supposed to be in charge of this service tonight, but he's got sidetracked. Some things that's got that. Yeah. Well, not all of us, but a big part of us have. And, okay. Get a microphone.
I was feeling maybe if she could feel the Holy Ghost through the band, through the music today. So I sent her the band song. I sent her the song that Sister Lynette sang, of course, and I sent her Sister Terry's. She said, "Keep them coming." She's responding. I said, "What did she do?" She's trying to raise her hands and she's crying. So there's something there. Praise but I God. Thought if I just felt to send her those songs, and maybe if she could feel the Holy Ghost, because she loves this body and she loves this. And I just sent her the songs, and she's trying to raise her hands, and tears are coming down her face.
Praise God. All right. There is a possibility that there's something there blocking her, you know, that she may be conscious, and but she can't talk or, you know, can't respond. That would be interesting if she comes out of this for us to tell us what's going on, if she knows. Anyway, I just thinking about today's service. Would you all check and see what time dinner's going to be ready? And that way, I don't want to talk till it gets cold. But we might as well do something till it's ready. I'm just going to sit here for a minute. My hips really hurt me today, and I thought I would say something. I do feel like God's dealing with us today, like Brother Talley said, about our relationship with the Lord. We were talking in Bible study about conditions of our relationship. First, second, and third heaven. First and second heaven are conditions. Third heaven is a place. But you have to get in the right condition to get there. So, I know when I was a young man, God's hand was on my life, and I wasn't aware of how, you know, what the future held for me, but I did know God had touched me. God touched my life. And then when I was about 20 years old, the Lord called me to the ministry. Revealed my calling to me. I think when I was born again, I was born with a gift of the Holy Ghost. But when the Lord revealed to me my calling, did you know I couldn't enter into that? I just had to keep serving Him, and I just had to let God deal with me. God knows how to deal with you. Did you know that? But you have to respond to Him. And if you'll seek Him, you'll do better than if you just rock along and just let, you know, whatever happen. But if you'll seek God, God will take control of your life. The Bible said the steps of a good man is ordered of the Lord. That means a righteous man, a just man. God will. He'll direct your steps. He'll lead you into the path of righteousness. And He'll lead you into His will. Whenever you get to where you can focus on more on God and the things of God, the more you're giving God an opportunity to work in your life. And, you know, I appreciate every one of you that are serving Him, and I love to see people that fear God, that have, you know, an awe, and they're fearful of God dealing with their life and them not responding to it properly, and I know sometimes, you know, the gospel gets presented. This is such a vast message. It's such a big message, and it's so difficult to get the whole sum of the matter. There is a legal side of God. There's a side of serving Him that He requires certain things of you. To him whom much is given, much is required. God starts giving you things, He requires something back. Of course, we're living in a world that's of electronic world, you know, technology. And I get emails all the time. And I get emails that tells me that you know, there's something they're wanting. Some of them are saying, you know, that I've inherited a bunch of money and that I've won the sweepstakes and there's a jackpot on waiting for me. I don't even open them. I just delete them. I just swipe and delete, 'cause I know there's nothing free in this world. Everything you get, there's a price tag on it. I don't care if you win the lottery. It'll cost you. Almost everybody that's ever won it will tell you they lost every friend they had, because all your friends think you ought to give them some of that money, help them. And if you don't, well, then you have to find new friends. Yeah, if you help one of them, then they're all standing in line. And so dinner will be ready at 1:30. All right. So I'll give you a little 35-minute sermon here. But now, if you do win the lottery, you know, don't burn the money. I mean, if you can't figure out what to do with it, but bring it to me, and I will put it in the work of the Lord. At least pay your tithes on it. And so we can put it to better use than it can be put to out there. But anyway, all kidding aside, I just know the Lord, and I know God wants us to develop. And that's what I'm talking about in our relationship with Him. There is a legal side to Him, and you can get to thinking that, like Brother Talley was saying, that it's hard work serving God. But when you really get the understanding of serving Him, it's like my wife. She was talking on the other side today when she was saying, I didn't give up nothing. What she meant by that was, is that what I gave up wasn't worthy to be compared to what I got in exchange. You do have to give up a life of sin. You do have to give up even ungodly friends and fellowship with the unrighteous out there. You don't really have to cut them off so much. All you got to do is just begin to live for God and let them see it, and they'll run from you. They'll leave you. You don't have to leave them. They won't want anything to do with you unless they want to respond to the things of God. But some people make serving God a task and a chore and a hard thing to do. It's not hard to do. The Apostle Paul, I thought I might read the third chapter of Philippians to you again. I'm going to Paul says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. And to write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it's safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Of course, there he's talking about those that are warring against the New Testament church and that don't really understand what God's doing, and that they're, you know, bringing persecution on the church. He said, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised the eighth day, the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, is touching the law, Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. He's just, what confidence he's placing in the flesh is that he's a Jew. That God's hand was on the Jews, and that was to some benefit to him. Rather than being a part of the ungodly world, he realized there was a benefit in that, but he realized it was limited. The benefit of that had limitations. When he got his eyes open to what God was doing, what God, the law, was to bring them to Christ. So then, in verse 8 he says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. See, if you're keeping a law that says you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't do this, don't do this, you're keeping the law of righteousness, but it doesn't make you righteous. That would you know, you're saying I'm righteous because I'm a law keeper. But if the law is your nature, see, if it's your life, and that's what he came to know, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness is which is of God by faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. He really isn't talking there about the death on the cross, because Paul wasn't being made conformable to that death. But the death that he was being made conformable to was, like he said, I die daily. He meant I die out to my own will and my own way of thinking, to obtain his way of thinking and his will. And that's what's working this excellency verse 8, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. To find that place in God, and verse 11 says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now look what he says here. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which for which also I am apprehended of Christ. In other words, I don't count myself to already attain the resurrection of the dead. There's people today, like these ladies were talking to Brother Talley, want to know if you die, are you going to heaven? And he couldn't give them the answer they was looking for. Because he knows he's not going to heaven if he dies today. But that's what the world believes. They believe when you die, you just zoom right off on into heaven. But Paul said, if by any means I might attain that, not that I already have. He realized there's a place in God to obtain, that just because you've been born again, just because you're God's child, doesn't mean that you're already perfect and heaven ready. See, heaven wouldn't be any more than what we have right here if we all went today. You'd still be who you are. I'd be who I am. And so I know John thinks Rochelle has done made it, but she hadn't. She told me herself today. She said, I've still got some spots. So she said, keep working on me. So, Brother John, you keep bringing her, because you ain't going to help her if you done already believe she's an angel. But I better quit picking on Sister Rochelle, but Sister Inez not here, and I don't have anybody hardly else to pick on. But Inez, if you're listening, Sister Inez, I'm sick of you being gone. You get back in here. And get back up here in this chair. I believe she had her teeth pulled. Is how come she's not? She don't want anybody to see her without her teeth. Ain't no telling. I don't know what she had done. Honestly, I don't. But she did tell me it must be something else, because she said if she came, she'd have to come on a stretcher. I'm about ready to send the stretcher after her. Anyway. I miss her. I look over there and she's not here, and it makes me feel like something's wrong. But something wrong, you know. Anyway, that's private. But he said, if any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead, not as though I already attained. Either we're already perfect. We've been talking about perfection in the last 2 weeks in Bible study, but he said, I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. In other words, he realized God's after me. And he may have been even running. You know, you can run from God. When God's after you, you'll most of the time you feel the pressure God puts on you. He's calling you, and you know, and you can even run from that. But if you can get in the place that Paul got in, he finally got in the place where he said, "I'm now running after him." He's not just apprehending or trying to get me, catch me. I'm trying to catch him. I'm trying to get a hold of Christ and really get everything he has for me. He said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So he's saying, you know, I'm letting the past go. I'm not hanging on to the past and trying to say, you know, in other words, I'm going to be content with what I've had in God under the law as being a Jew. But I realize there's more to God than what we had in the first covenant. And now I'm trying to apprehend what is in this new covenant that is to obtain the resurrection from the dead. He wasn't talking about resurrecting just, you know, bodily, like I was talking about today, coming up in a just resurrection for the purpose of being in the bride. But he's talking about the ultimate resurrection, resurrecting from death, where death has no more hold on you. First, the John said in Revelation 20 that he said, "This is the first resurrection. On such, death had no power." See, to resurrect where death, there is no more death. You finally have obtained all that God sent Christ to do for you. You've entered into Christ, the covenant that he brought. What he entered into, what he found, you find it. When you find that place, you'll have obtained the resurrection from the dead. So he said, "I'm pressing toward the mark." My mark, that's my mark, is perfection. The mark for the prize is eternal life. To resurrect from death unto eternal life, of the prize of the high calling, the bride. To have where sin no longer reigns. There's no more death. You got to understand, you're born of a nature that has already been, it's subject to death. When you die, like I was saying about Brother Talley, there's so many people believe when they die they're going to heaven. I'm sorry, that's just not biblical. Not unless you're a perfect overcomer. It's not biblical. You just can't show me that in the scriptures. See, but people want to take that, just like this scripture. Here's a man, an apostle, that's got all, he's got a calling, and God's gave him everything that there was available in the new covenant, and he said, I hadn't attained resurrection from the dead. I'm not already perfect, he was saying. But he was pressing for that. He was reaching out for that. Then he said in verse 15, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God will reveal even this unto you." In other words, even if you can't see, even if you've reached perfection, he's saying you ought to keep reaching out for more of God. And if you're not perfect, God will show you you're not. He'll reveal it to you. And he'll let you know what you're still lacking, what's still needed. So this place of relationship, there's a scripture in, look in Luke, the 20th chapter, I believe it is. This is good. I'm talking to y'all right off of my iPad, and it's got a clock right up at the top, so I know what time it is. I don't preach from this very much, but I'm trying to get to where I can do it more. You remember they were talking to Jesus about, they gave him a scenario and wanted to find out the Sadducees. You know, they didn't believe in a resurrection, so they was trying to catch him in a trap and ask him a question that he couldn't answer. So in verse 27 of Luke 20, it says, "Then came to him certain of the Sadducees, which deny that there is any resurrection, and they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if any man's brother die, having a wife, he die without children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. There were therefore seven brethren." they put a big question before him. "And the first took a wife and died without children. And the second took her to wife and he died childless. And the third took her, and in like manner the seven also, and they left no children and died. Last of all, the woman died. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For seven had her to wife." Jesus said unto them, "The children of this world marry and are given in marriage. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die any more, for they're equal unto the angels, and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush when he called the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, for he's not a God of the dead, but God of the living, for all live unto him." So here are these guys, you know, they were trying to ask him, you know, here this woman, she's had seven husbands. And so it was obvious that the question was, when they are in heaven, who's she going to be married to? And of course, Jesus began to show them something. He said, you don't understand the scriptures, that in the resurrection, you neither marry nor are given in marriage. He's showing there that there he's talking about the first resurrection. That is, the resurrection unto life eternal, not a natural resurrection like the resurrection of the just. You've got to understand there's a resurrection of the just, a resurrection of the unjust, and there's a resurrection that's the first resurrection, and that's the first resurrection unto life eternal. The resurrection of the just and the resurrection of unjust is not that resurrection. There's resurrections where you're going, like the resurrection of the unjust will be after the 1,000-year millennial reign. Everyone that's unjust. And the Bible says that the Lord knows how to punish the unjust and reserve them unto punishment. There where he says he knows how to reserve the unjust, how does he say that there in 2 Peter? That he they're reserved unto punishment. So if you're an unjust person, you know, and that an unjust person's one of God's children. They're just not living right. They're just not living by faith. They're not dedicated. They're not serving him right. You're going to resurrect because you're God's child. And yeah, he's not only merciful, you're his child. And he's not going to just let you die without giving you an opportunity for eternal life. And you'll have to see a full manifestation, just like the New Testament church had, that we're still working on for a restored church. Have y'all found that scripture in Peter? 3:9-2:9. There it is. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. So you see, an unjust person that's not serving God right or not living a dedicated life, God will have to punish you or chastise you to get you out of your unjust condition. You see, God will have to do something if a person dies unjust. You know, if we're not serving God, which he's called us to serve him and to be faithful, and we're not doing that, and we're God's children, I don't care if you're out in the world. If you're God's child, he'll follow you to the end of the world. And, you know, the psalmist said this in the 139th Psalm. He said, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. Don't matter where you go, you can't get away from him. You're his child. He won't leave you alone. And I've heard of people asking God to leave them alone. And he may leave you alone for a while, but you'll see him again. It may be, he may just say, all right, I'll see you in the resurrection of the unjust, but I ain't done with you. I'm going to beat the hide off of you if it takes it to get your attention and see if I can't save you. Now, if there's nothing I can do, if punishment won't change, if a rod of iron laid against you won't change you and you won't turn from your wicked ways and serve me, then I will finally judge you unworthy of life. But the reason I'm going to resurrect you is because I love you. You're my child, and I want to save you. I mean, how many of you parents would do anything you could do to save your child? Keep them from, you know, if they're laying on a deathbed, Sister Brenda Ratliff said the other day, she said, I wish I could take Mama's place. You know, when you really love somebody with all your heart, you'd die for them. And so, how much more, like Sister Smith was saying today, how much more does he mean to God even than your natural parents? His love is a perfect love. He loves you, your soul. He loves you. You're his child, and he wants to save you. So, this relationship that we're in, let me get back to Luke 20. Jesus was telling them, he was saying, look, you don't understand. This relationship of husband and wife down here, it's needful for this life down here, but it's not going to be needful. When you have eternal life and you've got a new body, you won't be married or given in marriage. When he said there you'd be equal to the angels, you'd be like the angels. You're not just exactly like an angel. An angel's never been a human, never been redeemed. They were made God's servants, but they're not married or given in marriage, and they don't have a need for marriage. They don't require that kind of relationship, and that's what he was trying to show them. He said, "You all are asking a foolish question because it doesn't even relate to heaven itself, life, this place of eternal life with God. You won't need that kind of relationship." I met a pastor actually in the body. He told me, he said, if I can't have my wife in the resurrection, I don't want to go. What do you think, Brother John? Yeah. But, you know, that's why, but we don't understand that. See, we've never been in that state. You, when, to have a perfect love, to have everything in an environment where there's no sin and where you're fulfilled and all that God has, that you're not going to have a fleshly drive, a fleshly need. You'll love everybody. You'll have a relationship and love everybody on an equal basis as you get to know them, no doubt. You'll have to get to know some people, but the love will be there for them. It's just like this song we're singing today about this family. Sister Terry was singing to us. It just put you in a feeling, didn't it? About what God's done with you when He gave you the body of Christ. He brought you here, and the feeling that you get with this people, the kinship that you have with them is a kinship that's nothing like a natural kinship with natural family. There's something extra about it that you just know that you're akin to them because they've got a revelation of God like you've got. On some level, you've got a kin relationship with God that you both can, not just two, but that you relate to with one another. And that's a closeness that you can't have in the flesh. To know that you've got a link to God Almighty, the Creator, with someone else. You've got the same kind of link up that they've got. I was thinking while we were singing that, I was thinking about how we have company come in from time to time. They sit and look at us. And you can see them looking around. And we'll all stand up. Sometimes they stand up with us. Sometimes they sit down. They don't know. They're just looking us over. They can't figure it out. And I was thinking while we were singing that song, we have a family of a different kind. We know what we're saying when we sing that, but other people just think that's just talking about Christians. They're the ones God's laid His hand upon. They just think that includes, you know, everybody in Christianity. We know that it's a select group of people really have an insight of what God is doing in this world in calling together His people in one body and have a vision of a restored church and what God's going to do. We were talking today in Bible study about this relationship carrying us to second heaven, a second heaven relationship. If you go in the I mentioned first heaven, the brazen altar, the laver that was lined with women's looking glasses made of brass. Everything was brass, overlaid with brass out in the outer court, which typifies the flesh. It's a lower level of metal. When you get into the holy place, it's overlaid with gold, the golden altar, the golden candlestick, the table of showbread. When you get in there, you even have to change clothes. The priest had to change clothes to go in there, take off a woolen garment, an everyday work garment, wool, you know, and then put on a linen garment. A white linen garment, which typified righteousness. White is the color of righteousness. Linen, this linen garment, to change clothes. We're going through a process of change. God's changing us from the old into the new. We're being changed from a fleshly relationship, a fleshly situation of life into a spiritual. Our relationship is becoming more spiritual. So you've got to change garments. That's not talking about natural clothes. It's talking about your spirit has to change. Your mindset has to change. You've got to really become righteous, not just keeping the law, not just being obedient, not just bringing yourself to church, but becoming more like Him. That the law of God gets in your nature. It's written on the table of your heart. It's put in your mind. It's wrote in your heart. It's part of your character. God's transforming process by the Holy Ghost accomplishes that, and your garment changes. Your behavior changes. Your spirit becomes like the Spirit of Christ. Your mind becomes like the mind of God. You start thinking like Him. You're not just counted righteous, you're becoming righteous. When you get in, when you finally develop to a place where God can take you into second heaven or the holy place, and though the sevenfold light, where God can show you everything, He can illuminate your mind and help you to see everything clearly that God has for you, and things that He wants you to correct in your life. And He gives you enough power to live above sin in that state. There's this sevenfold light. I know that it's the seven spirits of God. God categorizes. He puts it in category of how to develop you unto perfection. It has to start off with, you know, the power of God's got to work in your life, and the knowledge. You'll have to continue to have more knowledge of Him. It'll have to be pure knowledge. It can't have any leaven in it. The knowledge inside the holy place, it's the truth. There's no leaven in it. It's not puffed up by man's ideology, but it's the truth of God's, the unadulterated truth of God's word. And when you hear it, and it'll bring understanding to your to you, and you'll have a greater, clearer understanding of what God's working in your life. And these things come from the ministry. But they're yours. God gives them to the ministry for you. It comes the evangelist. That's the power of God. The might and the power through faith that God causes you to believe that you can attain to the excellency of the power of Christ. But then the teacher, the knowledge, and the pastor, the counsel of God, and the apostle, the understanding. Finally, you finally get the wisdom that's in Christ, that God gave Christ. You finally achieve that place in God where you've developed, and you've got power through that. See, it's so much light that there's no darkness in that place. See, it'll show you every little dark area. It's a sevenfold light. And even God, you know, do you realize right now our relationship with God the Father is very limited? Our relationship right now is more with Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something. He wants you to have a relationship with His Father. He wants you to understand the source of all life and get to know Him. His whole purpose is to bring you to the knowledge of God the Father and the life that's in God and the righteousness that God His Father put in Him. His whole purpose is to deliver that to you. But until you get in a higher, and I too, get in a higher place with God, we're not gonna know the Father like Jesus knew Him. We're going to have to get in second heaven to get in contact with God the Father very close. I'm practicing on it from time to time. I pray to God and I pray to Jesus. Sometimes I say, Jesus, let me talk to God here a little while. God, can I talk to you? Sometimes I get all broke up trying to talk to him. I don't know how to talk to him. I talk to Jesus pretty good now, but when I get really serious about trying to talk to God the Father, I don't hardly know what to say. And even to think that I should attain a place that he would give me his time, for me to have some individual time with the Father. That's, you know, for me, I feel unworthy of that. And I keep working through the mediator to get to God, but I just know there's a place. The Spirit of God, the Father, is one of those seven spirits. And then to eat of that showbread, to eat of the unleavened bread, where there's no falsehood in it. And the bread of life, that was, when you eat it and digest it, it becomes a part of you, your spiritual being. And then that incense, to learn how, you know, that incense that had to be offered up had to be a perfect mixture. You couldn't mix anything but the right mixture. And for you to learn how to blend your spirit with God and get the flesh and everything that would hinder you, to know how to approach him right in righteousness and get the proper balance. I know God trying to teach us that. We have a service and the Spirit of God comes in and just dumps it on us. It's so rich and so deep. God wants us to understand and learn what kind of mixture we need to get that kind of operation working in every service. But he's not going to dump it on us every time because we're not worthy of it. He's not just going to let us have those kind of experiences without us learning what it takes to get that kind of operation that brings that kind of experience with God. He's not going to come down on our level. He wants us to come up on his. He does come on down on our level from time to time for the purpose of enticing us or wooing us to come up on his level. See, a lot of people don't realize. They come in a church and feel God and the Spirit of God working, and they get touched of God, and they don't ever stop and think, how did that happen? Why did God do that? Why is it there's lots of churches you never feel that in? Why? Well, I can tell you, it's because God's teaching a people. There's a body of people that God is teaching and that he's developing to come up into this place of obtaining third heaven. Finally, getting in a place where you're worthy of eternal life. Right now, you're just counting us worthy. For the most part, we're not worthy. I know some of us have attained a righteousness in certain areas of our life, but in the areas we're not righteous, he's counting you righteous. He's covering you. He's applying the sacrifice that Christ made. He's your advocate. He's your propitiation that stands between you and God. But God wants you and I to come up on a place. And we come in here and we feel the Spirit of God, but it don't go nowhere. We can't seem to get it, can't get this thing off the ground. It's because we don't have the right mixture. We don't have the right incense. We're not in a place with God that we've got the right balance of all what it's going to take to have fellowship and to really sup with him. He wants us to come up on that level. He keeps throwing out a little corn, but he's saying, come up here. Come up here. I want you to come up here. If you want to have fellowship with me on that level, on a regular basis, you're going to have to come up. That's the prayers of the saints, John said in the book of Revelation, that the incense, that was offered up on the golden altar, that that goes back. You have to go back. They had to get the ashes, the coals off of the brazen altar and carry them in, place them on the golden altar and offer incense. See, your relationship with God, it starts out in the court, in first heaven. That's what makes it possible for you to offer up the right mixture, the right developing the right relationship of meeting the requirements of God to live above sin and offer the right kind of sacrifice. So from the sacrifice you've made of obedience and that's been burned and the fire that, you know, really it's the Holy Ghost and the trials that the Holy Ghost led you through and brought you to revelation of, those trials, you carry them into second heaven, and that's what makes it possible for you to offer up incense, the right mixture in your development in God, in righteousness, where God will accept what you're doing. And God has to develop you to a place that you can get there. Those things are important for us to understand. And in that place of a sevenfold light and unleavened bread and the right mixture. See, wisdom has builded her house. She's killed her beast. She's mingled her wine. That's the mixture. That's the right mixture. You've already overcome the old nature of sin and you're able to live above sin, to live in this holy place. And you've hewn out the seven pillars. And so we finally have found the place that God has established through a ministry, God in Christ, to afford us to have this kind of relationship with Him. That's what we're looking for. We're in a growth stage to get to that. Right now, all we can do is talk about the pictures, the symbols, what they mean, what's been revealed to us, and what we're going to have when we get there and how it's going to operate. We're not able yet to tell you about the experience of it. We haven't been there. We never had a church like the New Testament church. We've never seen an operation like that operation. I mentioned that down in the Jacksonville meeting. I said, brethren, when we have men who, when people can just get within those men's shadows and get healed from blindness and being lame, people can come in laying on death on a stretcher, and a man, maybe the man of God can't even get to them, but their shadow passes over. And just that shadow, God honors what He's doing in a church like that, that He's given all that He has, is made available to the church. It's going to take a people worthy of that. It's foolish for anybody to believe that we have what the early church had and that we're walking in the same place they was walking in and that what they had available to them is available today. If you've read the Bible, you'd have to be a fool to believe that and see what's in operation today. You have to be honest with God. And you have to be honest with yourself. But you also have to be wise enough to realize what we have received from God. He is requiring it. We have to live faithful according to that. But we have to look ahead and know that there's more. God has more for us. And there's a place in God. We need to forget the things that's brought us to where we're at. Not in that you're really forgetting them, but that's not your focus. Don't focus on salvation, of being saved from your past sins. Focus on salvation of being saved from the sinful nature, where there is no more sin. That's our focus. That's the prize, the mark of the prize of the high calling. is to reach a place in God where there is no more sin. There is no more fault. There is no more blemish. There isn't another spot. Sister McPhee, the spots are gone. He's coming back for a glorious church that's without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Hallelujah. All right, dinner's ready. So, I'm going to... Oh, before we go to dinner, we're going to... Everyone that can, we're going to clean church after dinner. Whoever can stay and help us clean church. I've got a list. Where's my list? Who got my list? I wrote it on the back of a card. Here it is. All right. Instead of making out, you know, putting people's names on, let me just ask real quick. Who will clean the windows in the foyer? So, all right, Sister Fisher's taking that. How about the foyer floor? Sister Fisher going to do that too. She's going to do the foyer. Swept and mopped. Cleaned. Okay. Vacuum the sanctuary. We need about... How many vacuum cleaners we got? I'm going to go over and look, see how many we got. We need the sanctuary vacuumed. Look, Sister McPhee's granddaughter, she's going to vacuum. She's ready to go. We need all the aisles vacuumed, but we need vacuum between the pews. So that's going to take about two people to do that real quick. And then we need to... sanctuary, bigger area, aisles all done, worship area, and then the platform. But maybe somebody separate would do the platform, behind the platform, and the bathrooms. There's eight of them in there, but they may not all work. What y'all going to vacuum in here? All right, Brother McPhee and Sister McPhee. And what's her name? Renaya, you going to help vacuum? All right. All right. What about Osmonique? Osmonique, you going to help them? All right. Praise God. We need somebody to take that. There's a vacuum cleaner that straps on your back and vacuums the stairwells, these two stairwells over here. Somebody want to do that? Brother Talley will do that. Who'll clean the ladies' restroom? Sister Donna, and the nursery, okay? The men's restroom. Got the men's restroom? All right. Did we say the behind the platform and the restrooms? Okay, Brother. Yeah. Brother Pryor is going to do that. The restrooms in the dining room, downstairs restroom. Sister Bonnie Dodge. The Leniger and the Tucker rooms need vacuumed. All right, Sister Lacey's got that. The dining room floor is going to have to be, we're going to have to move tables over. This will take several men to help move the tables over. Okay, keep your hand up, Brother Matt. We're going to need more help. Brother Painter. Brother Fleming, Brother Fred, Brother Durham. All right. Brother Jaron, Brother, all right. The kitchen. I know the crew cooking is going to help, but they need some help back there cooking and washing dishes. Somebody going to go back there and help them? All right, Brother Dylan. All right, the Sister Lisa and Tanya. Did I miss anybody on that? All right. The apartment and the guest room. Sister Sherry, that's her deal. And the Sunday school classroom, I guess, too, because it's right there joined. Okay. Okay. At some point, I need some man to paint that outside, not today, but who would do it for me, paint that ramp out there. I want it painted red this time instead of yellow. Okay? Thanks. She got it, brother. All right. And then the rest of us, if you didn't raise your hand to do something, we'll just join in and help somebody, okay? And we'll try to get a list made for everybody. Sister McGowan? Yeah? Do we have some little backs for that? Yeah. If you've got something in the pew, if you could take it home today, it'd be good so that we won't, because we're going to try to get the pews done. And then tonight, you old folks can have the night off, but the young folks, Jaron, you're in charge of the youth service tonight, all right? Preach them a good message. Either that or sit there till somebody watch the Spirit and let somebody let the Spirit work. All right, let's stand and ask God to bless us, fellowship and the food. And we had a good day, hadn't we? Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. The good